pitch it right. And besides that, my voice gives out now. So anyway, I was looking around a minute ago, and you know, we're truly blessed. Look at all the young people we have. I'm talking about young people that we have. That is truly a blessing. Years ago, before Reach came over, we had no children. No children. And if we had a couple that came in that had children, they wouldn't stay because we had no children. But we have children now, so that is a blessing. I was watching the little one over here bend over backwards. Man, I wish I could do that now, but I think those days are over. We're going to be looking at John, the 15th chapter, this morning. If you want to turn there, you can follow with me. I will do the reading, but we're going to talk about that. I was sitting on the porch yesterday, and early in the morning, cup of coffee and my Bible, and I was going over my sermons for today, and I got excited. Sometimes when I'm studying, I get real excited, and I'm wishing somebody was there so I could discuss what I'm reading, okay? But anyway, I think this is a great passage. It's, I am the true vine. He starts off, I am. Now, if you go through John, I think that's said about 7 or 8 times, I am. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the rulers of the Jewish nation understand I am. We just read it as I am. But when Moses was at the burning bush and he asked God, he said, what's your name? And he said, I am that I am. So every time he uses that, there's a secondary message going out there. I am. I am God. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. In the Old Testament, a lot of times when they talked about a vine, they were talking about Israel, okay? Israel was the vine. And actually, the Israelites were to go out into the world and teach about the one God. There were some proselytes, those that converted to Judaism, but very few. So they really didn't meet that particular goal. Here Jesus is saying he is the vine. Now, I'm not much of a gardener, and I certainly have never had a vineyard. But they had vineyards back then. We have vineyards now. I think there's a bunch of them out in California. And you have the vine, and everything comes off of the vine. So Jesus is saying, I am the vine. And without the vine, you don't have anything else, okay? You don't end up with grapes. You've got to have the vine. And he says that the Father, his Father, God, is the vine dresser. Well, we know that any type of garden, you got to take care of it. Now, I like flowers, and so on my balcony, a friend of mine says you need to call it the veranda. That's a big word for a balcony. So anyway, on my balcony, I have flowers in the summer. I got 2 now. But I have to tend those flowers, especially the kind that I bought. Obviously, you need to water them every day because the sun's hot in the afternoon where I live, and we get the sun on the backside, and without water, they die real quick. So I have to make sure that each day, sometime during the day, I go out and water my flowers. And they're my flowers because Minerva doesn't take care of the flowers. I buy the flowers, I take care of the flowers. But these flowers, when the flower dies, if you want to have more flowers, you have to pick those things off. So I'm sitting out there yesterday. I've been reading and I was turning the plant around and I was picking off the dead flowers because I want some more beautiful flowers. I like to sit out there and look at the beautiful flowers. Well, in this instance, Jesus says that God is the vine dresser. He is going to take care of the vine. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Well, actually, that's what I was doing yesterday. I guess I was pruning, okay, because I wanted more flowers. But also, he says, you have to bear fruit. Now, obviously, they're talking about grapevines, and you want the vine to bear grapes, okay? So, but he's saying that you have to bear fruit if you are attached to the vine. So he prunes it that you may bear more fruit. Already you're clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. I thought about that one, and I've always wondered exactly what he meant. Already you're clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Well, we know that to become a member of the Lord's body, we have to hear the word, we have to believe the word, confess Jesus Christ, and be baptized, okay? But we have to believe the word, okay? And what he's saying is, obviously they didn't have the New Testament back then, had the Old Testament, or what the Jews would call the Hebrew text, okay? They had the Hebrew text, but what they had, plus the Hebrew text, were the words that Jesus spoke. Okay, so he's saying there, they're clean by the words that I speak to you. He spoke about the kingdom coming. They had to believe in what he spoke. And by believing in that, then they would be clean, okay? If they didn't believe, they wouldn't be clean. It's the same thing nowadays, okay? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you don't believe, I'm sorry, you're not clean. You're not going to heaven. That's what the Word says. Now, I know there are a lot of people out there in the world that don't believe that or don't want to believe that, but I'm just telling you what the Scripture says. So he's saying that... The words that I have spoken to you, if you believe them, then you will be clean. That's kind of what I think that means. Then he says, abide in me and I in you. Abide in me. We have to abide in the vine. We have to abide in the Word. We have to abide in Jesus Christ. How do you do that? How do you abide in Jesus Christ? Now, I come across a lot of people that proclaim to be Christians. I have one tell me Friday night, she says, well, she was cussing before that, but then she said, because I walked up, she said, I believe in Jesus Christ. You know, those are just words. How do you abide in Jesus Christ? Number one, you stay in the Word. Okay, you have to stay in the Word. You have to read the Word. You have to study the Word. I think that you have to come together in fellowship, partake of the Lord's Supper, study the Scriptures together. You know, I like to hear people speak, but I would a lot rather do what we do on Wednesday nights or Sunday nights, when we get back in that little room and we discuss the Scriptures. We were looking at a passage the other night, and I looked at it one way, and Matt said, I don't think that's the way. Okay? Guess what? After I listened to Matt, I don't think the way I looked at it was right. I think the way Matt looked at it was right. So we've got to stay in those Scriptures. We've got to continue studying to find out what they actually mean. Another one of my pet peeves is, don't believe everything you're taught. I grew up in the Church of Christ, but just because somebody tells me a certain thing doesn't necessarily make it true. I've got to go here and find out if what he's telling me is the truth. That's up to me. We have to abide in Jesus. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You cannot bear fruit if you do not abide in Jesus Christ. Now, what's he talking about? Fruit. Fruit. Well, obviously, one of the fruits is bringing others to Christ. That would be a fruit, but that's not all of them. The scripture says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forgiveness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are all fruits. Another one of the things that I hark on all the time is we have to live like Christians. I said it at the hearth a little while ago. I'll say it again. You can't be one thing in here and something else out there. No. I told the men at the jail ministry, I said, it's easy to be a Christian in jail. It really is. You're a captive audience. You're not out there in the world where the drugs and the alcohol and all that stuff is. They don't have alcohol in there, and as far as I know, they don't have drugs. Now, they might try to slip some in sometimes. I'm not saying that that doesn't happen, but once they leave jail, it's going to get harder. They're going to have to disassociate themselves with maybe some of the friends they had in the past, or maybe even their family. We need to be different when we go out there because people are looking at us. Okay? They're looking at us. And if you are a true Christian and you're doing what you're supposed to when you go out there, they're going to want what you got. Okay? They're going to see you. We was talking about this morning that the Spirit convicts. One of the ways he convicts is people just looking at you and how you live your life. You can convict them of sin simply by your actions. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. So we are to bear fruit. And the fruits that I told you about, but I think even more importantly, and I think we're falling down on this, just like the Israelites did, we need to bear fruit. People. We need to be bringing them into the church. They need to be hearing the message. They need to be becoming members of the Lord's body. That's us. I know we've got television and radio and internet and all this stuff, and we use those things. That's great. But if you really want to bring people in, it's a one-on-one proposition. Look what Vinay's doing over in India. Goodness gracious. That man's on fire. I don't know how he does it. Of course, he's a whole lot younger than I am. he wore Papa out when he went over there. Papa had to recover when he got back. Because Vinay's just, I don't know how he does it. But he is bringing people to Christ every single day. We need to be doing that. But you cannot do that apart from Jesus Christ. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. When I read that, I think about hell fire. Okay? That's what I think about. But what happened to the fig tree when it didn't bear fruit? Jesus stand the thing and it died. Okay? We need to be bearing fruit. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now he's talking to the apostles, but when we read the scriptures, even though he's talking to the apostles, he's talking to us. If we abide in him, there are certain things we get. We can go to the Father in prayer and ask for things, okay? Obviously, you got to be in the will of God if you're asking. Is it something that God would want? Is it something that God would want in my life? And I've told the story over and over and over. When I was in my 20s, I prayed for a boat. And people say, what? I wanted a boat. He said, I can ask for anything I want. Don't necessarily have to give it to me. I won't go into the long story, but I got the boat, but I got it in pieces. Okay? I got it in pieces, but I ended up with a 14-foot Astroglass bass boat. So I think you can ask for those things, but it has to be in the will of God. You know, I wanted the boat so I could go fishing. I wanted the boat so I could carry kids out in the boat and go fishing. I have kids come up to me and say, first time I ever went fishing was with you. Okay, so I used the boat for myself, but I used the boat for the Lord. By this the Father's, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be his disciples. Whoa, what? I have to prove to be his disciples? Yes. You have to prove that you're a disciple. Like I say, people can tell me, I believe in Jesus and I'm a Christian, and you know, and I say, well, where do you go to church? Well, I don't go to church. Well, are you a Christian? Are you really a Christian? I don't know. I think you have to, there's more required of us because we're a Christian. And I think that the Father is most definitely glorified when we're out there doing his work. Everything we do is for the glory of God. Not for me, not for you. He might give you a talent, okay? John got a good voice. I like John to lead the singing. Got a good voice. Somehow, by the time I get over here, I lose my singing voice. I had it at the hearth when Joe was leading the singing this morning. I got over here and it's like a knot in my throat. But he gives you talents. You need to use those talents. And the Father will be glorified. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, there's another one. I'm a Christian. Do you keep his commandments? Should make you stop and think. Now, I can't judge a person. Only the Lord can judge them, but I can look at their fruit. You know, are they bearing fruit? Supposed to be bearing fruit. Are they bearing fruit? If not, something's wrong. We need to keep his commandments. Well, where are his commandments? Well, obviously, his commandments are in the Word. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You know, everything Jesus did was what God wanted him to do. He says that over and over. I don't do anything that the Lord doesn't want me to do, that God the Father doesn't want me to do. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Have you got joy? As a Christian, you should have joy. Whether I can sing when I get to Echo Hills or not doesn't make any difference. Sometimes I like to just shut up and listen to the singing here. I'm going to tell you what, we can sing. We really can. We've got some people that know how to sing. And it is, well, besides the fact that we got people that know how to sing, this auditorium is fabulous. It really is. But we have people that can do those things. In 12 he says, this is my commandment. I'll back up a little bit. Joy, I missed what I was going for. I have joy when I sit there and listen to the singing. Okay, I have joy. When I sat out there yesterday and was studying for this lesson, I was joyful. And I think that we should be joyful. People got the idea that Christians can't be joyful. I don't know where. Well, maybe I do know where that came from. We shouldn't be solemn and sad-faced and all that kind of stuff. Okay? We can be in the world and have joy. Jesus did. How many times we read about him going to somebody's house for dinner to have fellowship? You think he wasn't happy? Okay, now there's obviously the things that we shouldn't do that the world's going to do, but that don't mean that I can't enjoy music. Different types of music. Some of it I don't like at all. I wish they'd rip the cord out of the wall, but you can enjoy music. I like different kinds of music. I don't much care for rap, but or that, I don't know what that stuff is they call that. They call it music. I just call it screaming, so I don't know. This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Okay. He commands us to love one another. And in the fellowship, obviously, we should do that. Tommy and I were talking before the service began about churches that split. They must have forgot this commandment. Okay? We're to love one another. Excuse me. And if we have differences, then we should work them out in love. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. We are no longer called servants. We are called friends. We are members of the Lord's body. We are a family. But not just here. That's another thing that gets me. Okay? We have brothers and sisters that worship other places. We should get along with them and not be jealous of them. I've seen that, where it seems like we're jealous of another congregation.
Well, I don't want to do that because, you know.
No, no. We're supposed to love each other. We're supposed to work together for the good of God. Now, I know I'm weird. I understand that. But I, once a month, Tuesdays at 10 o'clock, I go across town to Christ Church. And it's called the Fathers of the City. And we meet together and have a devotional to take the Lord's Supper. Someone speaks. We worship together. But it's different denominations. You know, there's Church of Christ, several there. Baptists are there. Catholics are there. You know, but we work together. Now, last year, we had a dinner for doctors of the city. We just asked our individual doctors if they'd like to come to a dinner. We furnished them a dinner. This year, I think we're going to have a dinner for elders of the churches. But we're all working together. Now, I don't know if you agree with that or not, but I think it's a good thing. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. They had 12 men that he picked 12 men. From different backgrounds. Some were fishermen, one was a tax collector, one was a zealot. That's a guy that really didn't like Rome and do anything he could to throw Rome out of power. They wouldn't necessarily get along together. They all hated the tax collector. How many of y'all like the IRS? Well, no hands. Well, they liked them worse. But yet, and he's telling these 12 men, you have got to get along together and you have got to love one another. That's what he's telling them. He's preparing them to be the leaders of the church. These things I command you, what? So that you will love one another. I think this is a beautiful passage in Scripture about the vine and the branches and the Father. I think there's probably a lot of other lessons that we can get from it. I just hope that maybe you'll go back and read it again and study it some more. And apply it to your life, okay? That's why we have this, the book we call the Bible, so we can learn about the Lord, but so that we can apply the lessons that he taught while on earth to our lives. We need to be applying them to our lives. Yeah, I probably everybody here at Echo Hills this morning that's of age is a member of the Lord's body. That's wonderful. If not, you have the opportunity to become a member of the Lord's body. Then there are those that maybe need prayers. I know when we do the announcements, we talk about different family matters and people that we're praying for. I've asked you to pray for my brother who has cancer of the lung. I was talking to somebody recently, I was talking to Fathers of the City, and I told him about Jerry, and I said, you know, when you hear that your brother has cancer of the lung, obviously upsets you, and then you start with this why, you know, why my brother? But you know something good has already come of that. He's got a daughter that hadn't gone to church in years, but she went to church with him last Sunday, and he said that he thinks she's going to continue going to church with him. Okay, so the Lord can work good from bad things, and I think that that's a good thing. But if you got a problem and you want us to pray about it, let us know, and we'll be glad to pray about it. John, if you'll lead us.
Yeah, all right.